So we'll be reading from Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our debts, as we also have been forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
I always get kind of mesmerized, I have to admit, when Connie's reading. I just love hearing her voice and looking at her, and then I think, oh, I have to get up there and do something. So we had to wake up there myself, but thank you for that. If you didn't receive this little booklet on the way in, I want to make sure you get one. We are entering the season of Lent, and we'll talk some more about that. And this is just a, if you want a focus for Lent on Scripture and on some reflective thoughts surrounding the events that we focus on during this season, and that's our gift to you this morning, and I hope you'll take one and enjoy it through these coming weeks. August 3rd, 1969 was a date that will live in infamy somewhat for the city of San Diego. Does anyone know what happened August 3rd, 1969 that changed the life of San Diegans for perhaps even forever? Say it loudly. Plane crash? No, that was actually a couple years later, about 9 years later. No history? Well, I'm being a little bit facetious because you probably won't ever think of this, but that was the day the San Diego to Coronado Bridge was completed and opened for the very first time. But I'm not making light of it because that wonderful architecture and wonderful design, a great bridge that won several awards for its curved span and some of the things that were unique about it, but it changed life in Coronado forever, or at least, you know, it changed it dramatically. That once remote community suddenly became almost instantly accessible. You no longer had to either drive all the way around or take the little ferry boats across, or now people could drive the 2.12 miles from San Diego to Coronado, and with that came an influx of people, and businesses expanded, and traffic problems. The city was changed forever, all because of that bridge. And I like us to think about the San Diego Coronado Bridge, because like that bridge, when we come to the topic of prayer, we see that prayer operates much the same way. It's like closing a gap between what were before that separate areas, closing the gap, in the case of prayer, between ourselves and God. Now, obviously, we come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who is the true bridge, to use the metaphor, who binds us and connects us to God. But for an ongoing experience of God's presence and an ongoing experience of what it is to be a child of God, prayer becomes that bridge, closes that gap between ourselves and God. Well, I mentioned we're in the season of Lent. This is a very special period in the church calendar, the church year, if you will. It's the 6 weeks prior to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. And throughout the tradition of the church, the Catholic Church, the Protestant churches, the Eastern Orthodox, all churches have a tradition of focusing during this season on our relationship with Christ, our connection with our Lord. That leads up especially to, again, the celebration of Holy Week, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the events of that week, the Passover meal with Jesus' disciples, and his arrest, his crucifixion, and of course, the great event of his resurrection that followed. But this is a time for a special focus, a special emphasis, and during this time, we're going to take a look at prayer and some of the aspects of how we can have that connection with Christ grow deeper and stronger, and how it can be a richer experience of being connected with God. I don't know if you ever noticed this, and I hope I'm correct in it, because it'll be awfully embarrassing if I'm not, but have you ever noticed that nowhere in the Bible is there to be found a definition of prayer? Or maybe I should ask it the other way around. Have you ever noticed that there is one, and then I'm really wrong? There isn't. There's no place we come, you know, you can go online and all of a sudden little Wikipedia will come up and there's the definition, nice and tidy. But it's not found in Scripture anywhere. There's not a definition of what prayer is and expositions about how it works and so on. But instead, when we turn to the Bible, we see numerous passages that begin to draw a picture of what it is to pray. What it is to experience the significance of that connection with God. And if we're going to experience the power of prayer, if we're going to experience prayer itself and that connection to God, I think we can draw some of these pictures out of the Scriptures and then put them into effect in our lives. And that's what we'll be trying to do the next few Sundays, I should say. Matthew 6:5-15 is one of those passages where we don't get a just straight-out definition, prayer is this, 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 and this, but we get another one of those descriptive pictures that develop in our minds when Jesus talks about prayer and encourages his disciples to pray. It's intimate communication with God, because Jesus says in verse 6 in that passage, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Now, there's not a definition of prayer, but do you see the picture of what prayer can be? It's not like, as he earlier said, it's not like those who stand out in the open and pray out loud and these kinds of prayers that call more attention perhaps to themselves than truly a communication with God. It's not about just some rote prayer. It's not about just some ritualistic kind of prayer. He says, no, go into your room. Shut the door, get rid of the distractions, and then enter into that intimate communication with a loving Heavenly Father. Don't keep babbling like the pagans, for your Father knows what you need before you ask, Jesus says. That's prayer. Intimate connection with God, an intimate communication with our Creator. On that handout, there are a couple of quotes from different authors, and one of them is a man whose name is Olaf Hallesby, and he is, I don't know, he must be Norwegian? I think he is. And I'm going to skip to this because I love the way he helps us take what we see in Scripture and then gives us a descriptive picture of that when he writes, to pray is nothing more than to, nothing more than to open the door of our hearts, giving Jesus access to our needs, and permitting him to exercise his power in dealing with those needs. Nothing more than opening the door of our hearts to Jesus, giving him access to our needs, to what's going on in us, so that he can exercise his power in dealing with that. But before that, Hallesby paints another picture, and I don't think you're going to be able to see this too well unless you're seated up close, but he paints a picture of a child and us being like a child when it comes to prayer, who comes to a loving parent, and you know how parents are, or especially grandparents are, now that we are, when we see that child, what do? Right? We want them to come and just jump into our arms, if we can handle that, and lift them up and hold them there and hug them and caress them and enjoy that close, intimate connection. And Hallesby says, that's what we are invited to do as children of God when we come to prayer. when we go into that room, into that place of quiet where we connect with God, to come like a little child. Now, this is what I'm trying to show you. It's a wood carving. It's from olive wood from Bethlehem. And it's Jesus sitting here, and there's a child in his arms here, and another one down here, and another one over here, and a sheep over here. Beautiful picture. Sorry you can't see it way in the back, but I'll have it out here and you can see it or later on. But a beautiful picture of what this author is encouraging us to see as prayer is as a child, leaping into the arms of our parent who we know loves us and cares for us, and just lying there, completely at rest, completely at peace, completely confident that our parent will hear what we're talking about when we enter into that conversation with them. Prayer is opening ourselves to God. Nothing more than opening the door of our hearts, giving access to Jesus, to our needs, giving that to Jesus, and letting him exercise his power in us. I may have been somewhat typical of a lot of people, but as a teenager, due to a number of circumstances, right around age 15, 16, I found myself having great difficulty communicating with my father. Am I the only guy? No. There were a number of situations and some events that took place, but the result of those were we were distanced from each other. We were disconnected. And then in time, we were able to have time together and connect a little bit here and there, but I found that there was not the kind of freedom to communicate really deeply. It was all very superficial for, again, a number of reasons. It took some time. It took me doing some maturing. It took my father doing some willingness to be a little different and so on. But in time, we did find those moments, and they were rare. They were few and far between, where we actually did communicate something meaningful and connected at a deep level. And as I reflect on those, my dad's been gone 26 years. It's been a long time. But when I reflect on those moments, I think, how wonderful. They may not have been what I'd hoped for as much as, you know, the kind of communication I would have loved to have had, but there was some. And it was intimate. It was a connection. And that was very, very meaningful. And I share all that because it's a picture of that longing I think we all have to connect with God that same way. Deeply and intimately, where God knows us and we know God, and thoughts are exchanged, and meaningful information is exchanged, and help is given, and that kind of communication. Prayer bridges the gap between us and God. Now, I want to give you about seven ways that I think prayer helps connect us with God. So now I don't know what type of personality this is, but if you'd like to fill in the blanks, although you won't find blanks, you'll just find a sentence that's not concluded. If you want to fill that in, you're going to have a blast. If you don't like that, just hang in there. First one, prayer bridges the gap between the transcendence of God and God's immanence, and it's I-M-M-I-N-E-N-C-E, immanence. When we talk about God's transcendence, we're talking about the fact that as God's been revealed through Scripture, God is other. He's the Creator. He's the high, holy one who inhabits eternity. And folks, that's not us. We are not like that, are we? We're just not a whole, God is fully, completely holy and other. And that we can feel, because God is other, that we can't connect with God. But you see, prayer bridges that gap and brings God near, which is the meaning of God's immanence. God becomes near to us, close to us, when we enter into prayer. So that's the first one, God's immanence. The second one is that prayer bridges a gap between the holiness of God and our humanity. Yeah. When you stop to think of God's holiness, when we stop to think, as we sang earlier in one of my favorite songs, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," when we see how God is so gracious and holy and self-giving and all the attributes of God, we realize, okay, I realize, I know some of you don't have this issue, but I realize how far from that I am. God is this holy God, other, who invites us to draw near, but also invites us to not have that gap between God's holiness and our humanity, which is the second point there, but bridges that gap when we come to God in prayer. Bridges that gap. That gap that might be caused because we're maybe afraid to be in God's presence. We realize how we're not very worthy of that, or how we've really messed up or something. But God says, no, come, I want that intimate connection with you. I want to be close to you. Maybe it's that we just can't quite see ourselves being loved by God. Maybe we feel indifferent toward God. And any number of things that would stand in the way of that connection between God's holiness and our humanity. But prayer becomes that bridge to deal with that and to connect us with God. Number three, prayer bridges the gap between intimacy with God and our propensity to become distant from God. A couple weeks ago, we sang, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Are you familiar with that hymn? It's a great one. The third verse, the original third verse says, Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. You know what? Prone to leave the God I love. I better stop there. But aren't we people who are prone to wander, if we're really honest? Yeah, I mean, this was the one that gets me. I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to turn away from God and get focused on other things, the things that distract us, the things that lure us, the things that basically, because I'm a selfish person, I need to continue to deal with that issue of being self-focused or Christ-focused. And prayer bridges that gap, enabling us to be intimate with God instead of becoming distant from God or staying distant from God. The fourth thing prayer does is bridge a gap between our indifference toward God and having a real true interaction or a true relationship with God. Not just prone to wander, but don't we face another kind of issue of just sort of getting indifferent, blasé, to use the French? You know, we get half-hearted. We find ourselves just kind of drifting. But when we pray, we can't really be indifferent about God and God's will. One of the related passages is this passage in Mark 14, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you remember that, right? He goes to pray, and what's at the heart of his prayer? Nevertheless, Father, may it be according to your will, not mine. Remember that? As he faced the cross. And that was his prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Nevertheless, not my indifference toward your will, but I want to lay hold of and be determined to obey that will. Prayer closes that gap between our indifference and having that relationship with God in which we obey what God says. The fifth thing prayer bridges, I believe, is between our reliance on God. You know, I just realized I kind of switched these things around. Now I'm saying our thing first, so I'm sorry if I'm confusing you, but our reliance upon God and self-sufficiency. How many of our heroes, how many of your heroes, I'll call them, are self-made individuals? I can't have you raise your hands because that doesn't tell me a number, but when you think of the people you admire, and we as a culture admire, aren't they pretty much often the ones who just, you know, pulled themselves up by their bootstraps? Does anyone know what bootstraps are? That's an old expression, isn't it? That one goes way back. But yeah, self-made people typically are our cultural heroes, aren't they? Self-sufficient, independent, did it my way, those kinds of people. And we admire them as a culture. But when we pray and when we seek to open our hearts to Jesus and allow him access into our needs and our circumstances, we can't be self-sufficient, can we? If we're that willing to humble ourselves and say, here I am, Lord, like a child in your arms, I know you're listening. I need your help. I need to be dependent. We need to be dependent. And prayer enables us to have that proper kind of dependency in place of self-sufficiency. The sixth thing that prayer does is closes the gap between hearing God's voice and the distractions of a noise-filled world. I want to share this because it just, I don't know. And please don't take offense of it if you'll understand in a moment if there's a big if in here. But just before we moved from Westminster here to Rancho San Diego, about 20 months ago, we lived on a cul-de-sac and there was another cross street. The neighbors around the corner and our backyards kind of touched at the corner had a big afternoon party on a Sunday. All kinds of people were there. It was a noisy affair. It was wonderful kind of noise because they were having a good time. And it wasn't so bad until the accordion player showed up. That's why I don't want you to take any offense here, but okay. I thought, oh, that's pretty good. Maybe he'll play Zorba the Greek and so on, and those, you know, the typical Star Spangled Banner, God Bless America, Surfin' USA. It went on for 3 hours of accordion music. I'm not exaggerating. Accordion music's okay, but not for 3 hours. It was just an unsettling noise. We lead noise-filled lives. Let's face it. There's the noise of entertainment that's going on. There's the noise of the driver next to you with the big subwoofer, you know, boom, it just shakes your car and it's noisy. And noise of family responsibilities, the noise of job demands, the noise of silence that comes with loneliness. There's the noise of worry and anxiety. There's all kinds of noise going on. And prayer enables us to be quiet and to hear God's voice in the midst of all that noise. The Danish theologian, you may have heard of him, also a philosopher, Soren Kierkegaard, writes about a person who prayed, and at first that man thought prayer was about talking. But he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized that prayer is listening. Isn't that great? To become more and more quiet. Prayer is talking, but this person discovered the significance that prayer is also listening in that quiet moment for the voice of God, listening to what God has to say. Prayer bridges the gap between hearing God's voice and all that noise-filled life that we live. And the last thing I thought about in terms of prayer and bridging a gap is between living with anxiety and casting our cares, or the other way around, casting our cares upon God or living with anxiety. Now that's hard to do, isn't it? Living without anxiety. Maybe you've heard about the guy who woke up one morning, began to pray, "Dear Lord, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about all that, but in a few minutes, I'm going to have to get out of bed. And from then on, I might need some help." Very true, isn't it? We live lives that are just filled with things that cause us to be anxious. We need God's help. And prayer, to be reminded, is nothing more than opening the door of our hearts and allowing Jesus access to our needs, allowing him to exercise his power in our lives to deal with them. It's the kind of prayer that's for real people, I believe, people who are dealing with life's challenges, raising children, negotiating with the boss for a raise, cooking meals, balancing budgets, wondering what the future holds in our lives, in the life of this church, maybe. Prayers for people who are selling cars and believing in God, even while changing a flat tire in the rain. Preparing for exams, reading the newspapers, watching the news. Prayer is for people who face real life challenges that can cause anxiety. Waiting for the diagnosis and prognosis. Looking for work. Adoring grandchildren, struggling with fears and anxieties, all the cares that we tend to take with us when we try to get to sleep at night. But prayer is opening our hearts to Jesus, giving him access to those things that are creating that anxiety and allowing his power to be exercised to deal with them. Prayer bridges the gap. Just like the Coronado, San Diego Coronado Bridge. And I'm going to end with a question for you to process during the week or during this afternoon and so on. But that is, if you could picture yourself climbing up into the arms of Jesus and him holding you there, you'll have to picture yourself maybe as a child, what would you ask him? What would you give him access to so that he could exercise his power in your life? I have some things I would suggest that I was going to suggest, but I think you can think about that yourself. What are the things you would give Jesus access to so he can exercise his power in your life today? To pray is nothing more than to open the door of our hearts, giving Jesus access to our needs, permitting him to exercise his power in dealing with them.